First, I will start reading again the English of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 to chapter 4, actually verse 11.
史牧想跟大家读一下《彼得前书》第二章第三节、第三章十七节到第四章十一节。
And this is basically my own translation.
是史牧师的翻译。
Now this Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
主就是那灵，主的灵在哪里，那里就有自由。
And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as reflected in a mirror.
我们既然敞着脸得以看见主的荣光，好像从镜子里反照。
We are being transformed into that same image from one degree of glory to another.
我们就或多或少程度不同的就转变成主荣耀的形状。
Appropriately, this transformation comes from God.
显然这个转变来自于主，也就是圣灵。
Because of this, since we have been entrusted with this ministry of the new covenant, as recipients of God's mercy, we do not lose heart.
我们既然能够领受，受了这职分就不丧胆。
On the contrary, as far as we are concerned, we have renounced the shameful practices that men hide. We do not use deception, nor do we falsify the word of God.
相反，我们乃将那暧昧可耻的事弃绝了，不行诡诈，不谬讲神的道理，只将真理表明出来。
On the contrary, by presenting the truth or the true gospel openly, clearly, we seek to commend ourselves to the conscience of each and every person in the sight of God.
相反，我们是将神的真理清楚明白地表明出来，好在神面前把自己置于个人的良心。
Yet, if indeed our good news has been hidden, it has been hidden only among those who are on the way to destruction.
如果我们的福音蒙蔽，就是蒙蔽在灭亡的人身上。
In their case, the God of this age has blinded the minds of those unbelievers to prevent them from seeing the light of the good news that displays the glory of God, who is the image of God.
此等不幸之人被这世界的神弄瞎了心眼，不叫基督荣耀福音的光照着他们。基督本是神的像。
For we do not preach ourselves.
我们原不是传讲自己。
On the contrary, we preach Jesus Christ as Lord.
乃是传基督耶稣。
And ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake.
并且自己用耶稣做你们的仆人。
Because it is God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness." Who have shown in our hearts to illuminate them with the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, shining in the face of Jesus Christ.
那这副光从黑暗里照出来的神，已经照在我们心里，叫我们得知神荣耀的光，显在耶稣基督的面上。But
we have this treasure in earthen vessels. In order that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us.
我们有这宝贝放在瓦器里，要显明这磨难的能力是出于神，不是出于我们。We
are hard pressed on every side, but we are not crushed.
我们四面受敌，却不被困住。We
are perplexed, but we are not in despair.
心里作难，却不失望。We
are persecuted, but we are not abandoned.
遭逼迫，却不被丢弃。We
have been struck down, but we are not destroyed.
打倒了，却不致死亡。
We carry we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body.
我们身上藏戴的耶稣的死，使耶稣的生命也显明在我们身上。
In chapter 4, verse 7, Paul is saying that we have a treasure in earthen vessel.
保罗在4章第7节说，我们有宝贝在瓦器里。
Earthenware vessels, clay pots and jars.
就土制的瓦器，泥罐，泥制的器皿。
That's an unusual description for believers. Yet it always helps me when I encounter the life of a genuinely recognized, acknowledged, all-world Christian hero or heroine, who is nevertheless willing to admit that when all is said and done, I am only an earthenware jar, a clay pot, fragile, insignificant, but holding a great treasure.
用瓦器来形容基督徒是一个非常不同寻常的方式，但这一描述总能帮助我每当我遇到一个真正被大家熟知、认可世界级的基督徒英雄或者女英雄时，然而英雄在一切之后总愿意承认说我只不过是一个瓦器，一个泥土罐，脆弱、易碎、无足轻重，而里面存着一个伟大的宝贝。
One such world-class recognized modern-day saint is Elizabeth Elliot.
其中一个世界级的公认的基督现在的圣徒是伊丽莎白·伊尔特。
Elizabeth Elliot became a household name in evangelical circles when in 1956 her husband was speared to death by the Oca Indians in Ecuador.
伊丽莎白在福音派基督徒中成为一个家喻户晓的人，在1956年，她的丈夫被在厄瓜多尔的奥卡印第安人刺死，以致死亡的时候。
It also was written in all the papers that a missionary in South America was killed by headhunters.
在报纸上也报道说这个。 在南美洲的，which
place? In South America.
Yeah.
Did you just say South America? Ecuador.
Okay, 在南美洲，一个人被刺死。
Yeah, by headhunters. They take your head off.
哦，他们把他的那个头给砍掉了。
But both before and after that, she was willing to admit honestly, I am at best an earthenware vessel, a clay pot holding a treasure.
但无论在她丈夫被害前还是被杀以后，她都愿意诚实地承认说，我充其量不过是一个陶器，一个瓦器，里面渗着宝物。As
a senior in college, she surrendered to go to the foreign mission field, but giving herself to God, she told him, I do not want to go alone. I want to go with a husband.
在大学4年级，伊丽莎白顺服呼召，并愿意去国外宣教的合场。在将她自己交托给神时，她告诉神说：“我不希望一个人去，我想和我丈夫一起去。” She
met and fell in love with Jim Elliot, but they were separated for 5 years.
她遇见并爱上了吉姆，但其后他们分开了5年。Elizabeth
said, "We were left before God like earthenware vessels, clay pots, empty, only knowing that we had a treasure."
在神面前，我们分开的时候，我们知道自己只不过是瓦器，一个瓦罐，空空的，只知道我们里面有一个宝贝。
Finally, God permitted them to marry.
最终神让他们结了婚。
In 1956, 3 years into their marriage, Jim was speared to death, had his head cut off by the Oca Indians as he tried to take the good news, the gospel to them.
在1955年，就他们结婚后三年，吉姆被厄瓜多尔的 Orcas 印第安人刺死，把他的脑袋给砍掉了。当他试图把传福音给他们的时候
，Later, Elizabeth went to the same Orca Indians, and then went to Choctaw Indians.
后来伊丽莎白也去了同一群的那一群的厄瓜多尔的印第安人，然后还去了。
After many years in South America, she came back to the United States and wrote over 20 books.
在南美洲多年后，伊丽莎白回到了美国，并写了20多本书。
She toured the country as a popular speaker because the evangelical community admired her husband's martyrdom and her own commitment to Christian missions.
他走遍美国，作为一个广受欢迎的演讲家，因为福音派的基督徒都非常钦佩她丈夫为主寻道和她自己对基督徒传福音使命的忠心的委身。
Some years later, in a very honest article, she said, "My grandfather had on his desk a great Christian motto."
多年后，在一篇文章中，他非常诚实地跟大家说，在我祖父的书桌上有一个伟大的基督徒的座右铭。
It said, "Not somehow, but triumphantly."
上面写到说，不是莫名其妙的，而是完全的得胜。
If I really told the truth about my life, I would have to say, not triumphantly, but somehow.
如果我真实的跟告诉大家我生命的真相的话，我不得不说，我不是完全的得胜，而是不知为什么。
There are some warped versions of Christianity that present it as something other than having a treasure in earthen vessel.
基督教中有一些扭曲的观点，认为得胜不单是因为瓦器里面的宝贝。而是一些其他的什么东西。
The Apostle Paul recognized in his letter to the Corinthians that he was no more than a clay pot with a treasure in it.
使徒保罗在给哥林多人的书信中承认他自己只不过是一个瓦器，里面盛着宝贝。
Using the first person plural, the Apostle said, "We are jars of mud."With a treasure inside.
在使用第一人称复数，使徒们，保罗说：“我们是土做的瓦器，里面盛着宝贝。”
When we vaunt our strength, flaunt our ego, and pretend that we are something more than clay jars, then God can never make His strength conspicuous in us.
当我们吹嘘我们的实力。炫耀我们的自我，并假装我们不仅仅只是瓦器时，神就绝不可能使他的能力在我们的身上显明出来。
God conquers in those lives that know only too well, I am nothing but a clay jar with a treasure inside.
神也能使那些自认为无所不知的人降服，并承认说我只不过是一个瓦器，里面有宝贝。
Our weakness is the only stage on which God can display His strength.
我们的软弱是神可以彰显他大能的唯一的舞台。
First of all, the weakness of humanity contains the strength of the gospel.
首先，人的软弱可以盛载福音的大能。
The apostle does say we have this treasure in clay pots.
使徒保罗的确说，我们有着宝贝在这瓦器里。
And that's just what the word literally means: jars of mud, earthenware, vessels.
瓦器字面的意思就是说泥罐、土制的器皿。
An uncommon treasure in a common jar.
一个非常寻常的宝贝在一个普普通通的瓦器中。
An attractive treasure in an unattractive container.
一个非常吸引人的宝贝，在一个毫无吸引力的器皿中。
A durable treasure in a container that is already perishing.
这个很久的宝贝，在一个已经破坏的、破败的容器中。
A treasure of great value, containing something of no inherent value at all.
一个贵重无比的宝贝，放在一个本身根本没有什么价值的东西里面。
This is a great reality about the Christian life.
这是基督徒生命中一个伟大的现实。
And the reality is that we do have a treasure.
这一伟大的现实就是我们的的确确里面有一个宝贝。
To the extent that you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you recognize that our treasure indeed has been lodged with you.
你认识主耶稣基督如此的深，以至于你认识那的确是一个宝贝，已经住在你的里面。
Jesus even called it a pearl of great price.
耶稣甚至称它为一颗重价的珠子。
You may ask, what is that treasure?
你可能会问，那宝贝是什么呢？
That treasure is the knowledge of the saving power of God.Which is in Christ.
那宝贝就是知道神在耶稣基督里有使人得救的大能。
More specifically, in verse 6, it is being able to look up to an unclouded sky, to an ungrieved, unquenchable Holy Spirit, and see the glory of God reflected in the face of Jesus Christ, and reflected in my life.
在第六节里更具体的说，那宝贝就是一个能让我们仰望晴朗的天空的时候，我们在不消灭圣灵的感动，不让圣灵担忧的时候，我们能看见神的荣耀显在耶稣基督的面上，也能够逐渐显示在我们的生命里。
Paul says that's a treasure.
保罗说那是一个宝贝。
Treasure is not an adequate word for this possession.
宝贝一词不足以形容这一个词。
But it's the best word we have.
但是这是我们可以想象出来的最好的词。
So he says, we have this treasure.
因此保罗说，我们有着宝贝。
But we have that treasure in a clay pot.In an earthenware vessel.
但我们的这一个宝贝是在一个土制的罐里，一个土制的瓦器里。
Paul's readers then immediately knew what he meant.
保罗的读者们立刻就知道他说的是在说什么。
Because a clay pot suggested something about strength, attractiveness, and value.
因为瓦器这一词指出了一个东西，它的强度，它的力量。它的吸引力和它的价值。
As the strength weak,
就力量强度而言是脆弱的。
As to attractiveness, insignificant,
就吸引力而言是不吸引人的。
As to value, valueless,
就价值而言是微不足道的。
The picture was of something fragile, breakable, and weak.
它描绘的是一个脆弱。易碎软弱的东西。
It portrayed something that was inherited, unattractive, common, and insignificant.
它描述一个东西，就它本身而言是不吸引人、残净、微不足道的。
What in the world is Paul trying to say to us when he says that we have this treasure? The good news, the power of Jesus Christ in clay pots.
但宝贝是我们有这宝贝，这好消息，耶稣基督的大能在瓦器里，他究竟想要跟我们传达的是什么意思呢？
Someone may suggest that he is talking about our physical bodies.
有人认为保罗是在谈论我们的身体。
Indeed, to one extent it is.
在某种程度上来说，他的确如此。
Whatever we know of the power of God resides in our feeble, frail, and inevitably perishing physical bodies.
不管我们对神大能知道有多少，这能力总是在一个软弱、脆弱、必然消亡的肉体里面。
But that is not all what he meant by this imagery.
但这不是保罗想用这幅画面想描述的整个的意思。
Actually, he was agreeing with his Corinthian critics.
其实保罗是同意那些哥林多人对他的一些批评。
And you may wonder, did these people really criticize Paul?
你可能会说，那些人哥林多人的确批评保罗了吗？
They surely did.
他们的确如此。
Look at 2 Corinthians 10:10.
看一下哥林多后书第十章第十节。
Quoting what some of the Corinthian believers were saying.
这里引用一些哥林多基督徒对保罗的原话。
Paul's letters are forceful and powerful, but in person, he is unimpressive. And his speaking amounts to nothing.
保罗的信又沉重又厉害，即使见面却是气貌不扬，言语粗俗的。
In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 6, Paul acknowledges that very fact.
在哥林多后书十一章第六节，保罗承认了这一事实，说
，Even though I am untrained in speaking, but on the contrary, I am not inferior in knowledge.
尽管我的言语虽然粗俗，没有受过训练，但是我的知识却不粗俗。
Inadequacy of speech was a long-standing perceived weakness in Paul.
不善言辞是保罗认为自己长期以来存在的一个弱点。
And he addresses this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verses 4 to 5.
他在哥林多前书第二章四到五节这么说。
My speech and my preaching was not in persuasive words of wisdom, but on the contrary, with a demonstration of the Spirit and power, in order that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on the contrary, rest on the power of God.
我说的话讲的道不是用智慧委婉的言语，而是圣灵和大能的名证，叫你们的信不在乎人的智慧，只在乎神的大能。
Apollos, who also preached in Corinth, was well trained in how to speak eloquently.
亚波罗也曾在哥林多讲过道，他在如何雄辩上有很好的训练。
And Paul admits that he did not have such training.
保罗承认自己没有类似的训练。
In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verses 10, Paul tells us about the many visions and revelations God had given him.
在哥林多后书十二章一到十节，保罗告诉我们，神给他了他很多的异象和启示。
These were things that the Corinthians valued.
这种异象和启示是哥林多人所看重的。
Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 1, I must boast, although boasting is not beneficial. I'm going to deal with the visions and the revelations granted to me by the Lord.
保罗在哥林多后书12章1节说，我自夸固然无益，但我自夸是不得已，如今我要说到主的显现和启示。
Then he continues in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verses 6 to 10.
然后他在哥林多后书十二章六到十节继续写道。
If I should decide to boast, I would not be made to look foolish, because I shall be speaking the truth.
我即使愿意夸口，也不算狂，因为我必说实话。
But I refrain, lest anyone should esteem me beyond what he sees in me or hears from me in every respect.
只是我禁止不说，恐怕有人把我看高了，贵他在我身上所看见、所听见的。
Therefore, to keep me from becoming too elated because of the extraordinary nature of the revelations, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated.
又恐怕我连锁的启示甚大，就过于自高，所以有一根刺加在我肉体上，就是撒旦的差役要攻击我，免得我过于自高。
Three times I begged the Lord about this, that the thorn would be leave me. But he said, My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.
这是我三次求过主，叫这刺离开我。他对我说：“我的恩典够你用的，因为我的能力是在人的软弱上显得完全。” Therefore,
very gladly I will rather boast of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
所以我更喜欢夸自己的软弱，好叫基督的能力覆庇我。That
is why I take pleasure in weaknesses, in insults, in calamities, in persecutions, and difficulties endured for Christ.
为基督的缘故，借于软弱、凌辱、指难、逼迫、困苦，为可喜乐的，因为我什么时候软弱，什么时候就刚强了。For
when I am weak, then I am strong.
因为我什么时候软弱，那么我什么时候就刚强了。Paul's
thorn in the flesh was evidently some sort of recurring illness.
加在保罗肉中的刺，很明显是指反复发生在他身上的疾病。He
writes in Galatians chapter 4, verses 13 to 14.
他在加拉太书第4章13到14节这么说。
You know that it was because of a physical illness that I first presented the good news to you.
你们知道我头一次传福音给你们，是因为身体有疾病。
But even though my physical illness put a great burden on you, you did not despise or reject me.
你们为我身体的缘故受试炼，没有轻看我。
On the contrary, you receive me as you would an angel from heaven, as Christ Jesus himself.
反倒接待我，如同神的使者，如同基督耶稣。
People have guessed that Paul's new illness was either epilepsy or malaria.
有人猜想保罗的疾病很可能是指疟疾或者癫痫。
So Paul is admitting to the Corinthians that not only was he not an eloquent speaker, but also that his physical appearance was unimpressive.
因此保罗向哥林多人承认说，他自己不见是一个能言善辩的人，他的外貌形象也不引人瞩目。He
was always sick.
他还常常生病。Paul's
name comes from the Latin word Paulus, which means small.
保罗他的名字来源于拉丁文 Paulus, 是指小的意思。
So he was a short person who was always sick and who does not speak eloquently.
因此保罗是个矮小的人，常生病，也不能言辞善辩。
Apollos was tall, handsome, and very eloquent.
亚伯罗是个高大、英俊、非常能言善辩的人。When
I was at Harvard in the early 1960s, Billy Graham, who was in his 40s, came to speak.
当时牧师1960年在哈佛大学的时候，当时葛培理40岁出头来哈佛做演讲。All
the secretaries wanted to hear him because he was tall and very, very handsome.
所有的律师们都想听葛培理的演讲，因为葛培理长得又高大又英俊。Tall,
handsome, and eloquent speakers can always be very persuasive.
高大英俊并且雄辩的人，对人总是很能有说服力。
Paul boasted about his weaknesses, because as he writes, "For when I am strong, then for when I am weak, then I am strong."
保罗却夸他的软弱，因为他写道：“因为我什么时候软弱，那么我什么时候就刚强了。”
Paul knows that his weaknesses allow the power of Christ to work in and through him.
保罗知道他的软弱使得基督的能力能在他的身上做工，并且能够通过他来做工。
When Apollos persuades someone to become a Christian, it may be due to his looks or to his eloquence.
当亚波罗说服某个人信主时，这可能是因为他长得帅，或者因为他口才好。
When Paul persuades someone to become a Christian, it has to be the work of the Spirit of Christ working through Paul.
当保罗说服人成为信主、成为基督徒时，那一定是圣灵对保罗身上做工的结果。
There's a reason for putting a strong treasure in a weak container.
将大能的宝贝放在脆弱的瓦器里面是有原因的。
Jewelers don't display the value of diamonds by putting them against the backdrop of other diamonds.
珠宝商不会将钻石跟其他很多的钻石放在一起，为背景来凸显那钻石的价值。
Jewelers display the value of diamonds by putting them against a comparatively worthless black cloth.
珠宝商们将钻石放在相对不值钱在黑布的面前来凸显钻石的价值。
Over against the backdrop of that worthless black cloth, the beauty, luster, and value of the diamond are seen.
以不值钱的黑布为背景，才能凸显出钻石的美丽、光泽和它的价值。
How does God display His power?
神怎样显示他的大能呢？
Does He display His power?By finding people who are strong in and of themselves, their personality, their cleverness, their education, their ability, and their overwhelming personal magnetism, and their commanding presence.
神显示他的能力，是通过找到那些本身就非常强大、非常棒的人吗？比如他们的个性、聪明、教育、能力，他们极大的个人魅力。和他们领袖般的气质呢？
No,
不是的。
God delights to display His power in those who are inconspicuous and who, because of their weakness and frailty, become a backdrop, so that when anyone sees them, they can say, "That is not He. That is the power of God at work in His life."
神乐意显示出他的能力在那些不起眼的人的身上，因为他们的弱点和脆弱就成了一个背景，每当人看见他们，他们就可以说，那不是我做成的，那是神的能力在他们的身上。
God has always delighted to do it that way.
神总是乐意这么做。
When people look at that which is essentially unattractiveAnd they see attractiveness in it. When they look at something that is essentially weak, and they see a supernatural power in it. When they look at what seems to be common, and they see something uncommon in it, then they might say, that is the power of God.
本身不吸引人的东西，众人却看见它的吸引力。本身是脆弱的东西，众人却看到了那超自然的能力在里面。本身是普通平常的东西，众人却看见了异乎寻常的特质。那时他们或许会说，那是神的能力。
Second of all, the power of God prevails in the midst of our difficulties.
对啊，神的能力在我们困难重重中能够彰显并能够得胜。
In 2 Corinthians Chapter 4, verses 8 to 9, Paul tears open his heart And let us see what it was like to be a great Christian.
在哥林多后书第四章八到九节，保罗流着泪打开他的心门，让我们看见一个伟大的基督徒该是怎么样的。
He says, "We are hard pressed on every side, yet we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but we are not in despair. We are persecuted, but we are not forsaken." We are struck down, but we are not destroyed.
保罗说，我们四面受敌，却不被困住，心里作难，却不致失望，遭逼迫，却不被丢弃，打倒了，却不致死亡。
Four phrases.
四个短句子。
They are very interesting because these are phrases that literally comes out of the arena of soldier fighting on the battlefield, or the gladiator in the arena at Rome.
这几个句子非常的有意思，因为这些用语是直接来源于士兵们在战场上打仗，或者角斗士在罗马的竞技场上的场景。
The language is taken from a gladiator in the arena.
这些用法用词来源于角斗士在竞技场上。
When suddenly a stronger opponent knocks the sword out of his hand or the shield out of his other hand, and all of a sudden he is perplexed.
当一个很强的对手突然将他的剑打震飞，或者把他手另一只手上的盾牌打掉，突然他就处于极度的困境之中。
He is knocked down, but suddenly he stands up to fight again.And not only to fight, but to prevail.
他被击倒，可是他又突然站起来继续击打，并且不只是击打，而是能够得胜占上风。
And that's the type of language Paul uses in these four phrases.
这是保罗在这四句话中所用的引语。
Notice that each of the four, the first part of the phrase,mentions a human weakness, and the second part identifies a more than compensating divine strength.
请注意这四句话中，每一句的前半句都讲的是讲到人的软弱，后半句都承认神在人身上有远超过真的是补偿的这样一个能力。
In verse 8, the human weakness is we are pressed hard.On every side.
在第八节，人的软弱是我们四面受敌、受挤压。
But look at the last part. God's strength is that we are not crushed.
但后半句说是神的能力是不被困住、不被压垮。
And look again. Human weakness is being perplexed. God's strength, we are not in despair.
再往下看，人的软弱是心理作难，但是神的能力使我们却不至于失望。
In verse 9, the human weakness is that we are persecuted.
第九节，人的软弱是遭逼迫。
God's strength is that we are not abandoned.
神的能力使我们不至于被丢弃。
Struck down, human weakness, but we are not destroyed.God's strength.
被击倒是人的软弱，但神的力量是我们不至于灭亡。
Somehow we imagine that the great Christians of the ages lived in some other kind of world and walked in some other kind of atmosphere than the one that we live and walk in every day.
不知道为什么，我们总想象历史历代那些伟大的基督徒。都是住在一个不一样的环境中，活在一个不一样的世界里面，跟人每天的生活环境完全不一样。
We think that they were 3 feet off the ground and never faced what we face.
我们认为他们是活在离地3尺，从来没有遇到过我们所遭遇的。
Nothing could be further from the truth.
但事实绝非如此。
Consider John Wesley, a Christian whose name and fame will live as long as the church stands.
那约翰威斯里这个例子, 他的名字和名声会一直存留下去, 只要教会还存在。
Wesley started a worldwide Christian movement and saved England from a disaster similar to the French Revolution.
威斯里开创了世界范围的基督徒的运动, 并且他把英格兰从法国大革命般的灾难中救拔出来。
He was the founder of Methodism.
他是卫理公会的创始人。
He lived into his 80s.
他活到了80多岁。
He rode 250,000 miles on horseback, preaching more than 50,000 times, often 5 times a day.
他起码走过了25万英里, 步道高达5万多次, 很多时候是一天经常步道5次。
But do you know what?
但你知道吗?
All this while, Wesley lived in a domestic hell.
威斯里的家庭生活就像地狱般。
He made a very unwise decision in his marriage.
在他结婚的时候，他做了一个非常不明智的选择。
He married Molly Vassell, the widow of a London merchant, who was already the mother of 4 children.
他跟 Molly 瓦泽尔结了婚，啊 ，Molly 是伦敦一个商人的寡妇，自己带着4个孩子。
When Wesley's brother Charles heard about it, he went and shut himself in his room and cried, because he knew it wasn't going to work.
当威斯的兄弟查尔斯听到这一消息，他进了自己的屋，关上门，在屋里哭，因为他知道这段婚姻是维持不了多久的。The
woman was so intensely jealous, insanely jealous. She dogged John Wesley everywhere to see what he was doing.
她妻子嫉妒他是如此的不合情理，她总是固执的到处跟随着约翰威斯里，要看看他到底在做什么。She
went to his study and tore up his papers after rifling through them.
她去翻看他的笔记，以至于撕破了他的文章。
She would never allow her husband to have any friendships or guests in their home.
她从不允许她丈夫有朋友或客人来自己家里访问。
Perhaps the most telling incident was related by one of John Wesley's preachers, by the name of John Harrison, who said that he happened on the two of them in Northern Ireland one day.
或许最有说服力的一个例子是约翰哈里森，一个跟他有很多灵性的牧师说的。他说，那发生在他们两个人一起在北爱尔兰的某一天。When
he opened the door, Mrs. Wesley was in a rage, and Mr. Wesley, John Wesley, was on the floor.
当他推门的时候，看见威斯里的妻子正在大发雷霆。
She had dragged him there, and she held in her hand the locks of his gray hair that she had just pulled out.
是他妻子把他拖到了那房间里，而他妻子的手上拿着从约翰威斯里头上拔下来的一个发卡。Now,
when you think about John Wesley, you think about a man whom God used to shake this planet for the good. For the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ.
但是当你我现在想到约翰威斯里的时候，你也想象的都是神使用他来唤醒、来改变整个世界，为着主耶稣基督的福音。Yet
all of it was achieved in spite of a background like that.
但这一切都是在那样的环境背景下成就的。The
power of God was revealed in the life of John Wesley. Even though he was living in the midst of a domestic hell.
什么大能在约翰威斯里的身上显明出来，尽管他的家庭生活像个地狱地窖一般。
Ludwig von Beethoven was born in 1707 in Bonn, Germany.
路德维希·贝多芬 生于 1770年 在德国波兰。
His education was meager, and that hurt him all his life.
他只受了一点点的教育, 因此他的整个的生活因此受到伤害。
Socially, he was awkward, inept, and rude because of his upbringing.
在社交生活上，他笨拙、无能、粗鲁，因为他的成长的环境。
Personally, he was irascible and unpredictable.
个性上，他暴躁、易怒、不可测。
Yet his personal journals reveal that he had an overwhelming sense of responsibility to God for the gift that he had been given.
然而他个人的日记显示， 他对神所赐给他的恩赐是多么的富有责任感。
At 28 years of age, in 1798, he began to go deaf.
在1798年, 贝多芬28岁左右时, 他开始耳聋。
Out of that deafness, out of that weakness, he composed music supernaturally powerful in its sweetness and in its thunder.
因着他的耳聋，因着他的软弱，他创作出的音乐，在甜美的音色和恢宏的旋律上有超自然的能力。
One day in Vienna, he presented for the first time his 9th symphony.
有一天，他在维也纳首演他的第九交响曲。
Already deaf, he took his place before the orchestra.
已经耳聋的他站在了管弦乐团的前面。
Someone told the orchestra and the choir, "Look at him, but don't follow him, because he's as deaf as a stone."
有人告诉管弦乐团和合唱团说，看着他就行了，但不要听他的指挥，因为他像石头一样，根本就听不见。
What a pathetic sight to see him standing there waving his baton. The orchestra and the singers watching him but not following him because he couldn't even hear the music.
那该是一个怎样凄惨的景象呢？看着他站在那里挥舞着他的指挥棒，乐队和歌手们只看着他，却不听他的指挥，因为他听不到任何音乐。
At the end of one of the movements, the whole place broke with thunderous applause.
但是在乐章的结尾，整个演奏厅就爆发出如鸣般的掌声。
The audience knew that they had heard one of the masterpieces of the ages.
听众们知道他们听到了有史以来伟大的一个杰作。
But the great composer never heard them.
但是这伟大的作曲家自己却什么都没有听到。
He simply turned over the pages of his score until a musician pulled his sleeves and pointed him to turn around.
他只是翻过他的乐谱，直到有一个音乐家拉着他的袖子，提醒他让他转过身来。
Then he saw that the whole place was in pandemonium because of the greatness of what he had done.
然后他才看到整个音乐厅 的欢呼沸腾，因为他伟大的作曲和他所做的。But
in his deafness, he couldn't even conduct the music or hear the applause.
但是因为他的耳聋，他没有办法单独指挥，也没有办法听到掌声。You
might say what a tragedy.
你或许会说，多么大的一个悲剧啊！No,
no.
不是如此的。Who
knows?
谁知道呢?
If he had not been deaf, there might never have been a 9th symphony.
如果他不是耳聋，或许我们就永远没有第九交响曲。His
biographer Thayer said, "Who can say that the world has not been the gainer by a misfortune that stirred the profoundest depths of his being?" And it compelled the concentration of his powers in one direction.
他的传记作家 特尔曾这样说，谁会否认这整个世界都获益，因着贝多芬他个人的不幸，这不幸激荡着他的灵魂的最深处，并迫使他将他所有的力量都汇集在一个方向上。
Out of his deaf weakness there came an overwhelming strength，
因着他的软弱喷发出无法比拟的力量。
Third of all， death to self releases the life of Christ in us。
第三，向自己死，就释放出基督的生命。
Let's drop the figure of speech, and says Paul drops the figure of speech and says, "Let's stop talking about clay pots and let's get straight to reality."
保罗在演讲中暂时放下了他的，在他的书信中放下了用比喻的说法。是直接了当的说，那我们不再谈论瓦器，而是直接了当的来谈论现实。
He says, "Here's what I am talking about. If you want to get to the center of it."
他说这是我所要谈论的关键，谈论的中心点。
In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 10 to 11, he writes, "We always carry that round in our body."The death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body.
在哥林多后书四章十到十一节，保罗写道：“我们身上常常带着耶稣的死，使耶稣的生也显明在我们的身上。”
For we who are alive are continually being handed over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus.May also be revealed in our mortal flesh.
因为我们这活着的人是常为耶稣被交于死地，使耶稣的生在我们这必死的身上显明出来。
Paul is basically saying the same thing in these two verses.
在这两节经文中，保罗要表达的是同样的一个意思。
For many of us, that kind of statement is very, very strange.
对我们大多数人而言。这样的说法是非常非常稀奇的。
And there are some very disturbing passages in Paul.
保罗的书信中也藏有很多让人费解的经文。
One of them is 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 31, where Paul says, "I die daily."
其中的一处是在哥林多前书十五章三十一节，保罗说：“我天天冒死，天天对自己死。”
Another is Romans chapter 8 verse 36, where he says, "We are killed all day long."
另一个例子是在罗马书八章三十六节，那里保罗说：“我们终日被置于死地。”
Another is Philippians chapter 3 verse 10, where he says that he was being conformed to Christ's death.
还有一个例子是在腓立比书三章第十节。保罗说他自己效法基督的死。
Joseph Tong is a world famous Romanian pastor.
约瑟堂是一个世界著名的罗马尼亚的牧师。
He served the largest Baptist church in Romania.
他在罗马尼亚最大的浸信会教会服侍。
As you might expect, he is sometimes a controversial person.
这里你可以想象的，他有时候也是一个备受争议的人物。
The time came when the communists didn't make the church illegal, but they so restricted it that it was completely neutralized.
后来罗马尼亚的共产党尽管没有宣告教会为非法，但他们给了教会很多的限制，以致教会被彻底的世俗化了，瓦解了呀。
They said, "You can't baptize. You can't make disciples. You can't train young people."
他们规定说，你不可以施浸，不可以培训门徒，不可以培养年轻人。
Obedience to that law would have destroyed the church.
服从那一法律就会摧毁教会。
Joseph Tong went to the mountains.And while he was walking and talking with God, God told him, You do not have to keep that communist law.
约瑟塔王爬到山上，当他边走边向神交谈祷告时，神给了他一句话，说你不必遵守共产党的那一条法规。
After studying martyrdom in the Bible, he came to understand that he might be called on to be a martyr.
在学习了圣经中关于殉道的教导后，他开始明白自己是被呼召成为一个殉道者的。
And it was settled that day.
那一天，这呼召就明确确定下来了。
He died on that mountain.
他在那山上向自己死了。
Oh, he was still alive, but he did die.
尽管他仍然活着，但是他已经死了。
He went back down the mountain and told his wife.
他下山回去，告诉了他的妻子。
And as is often the case, she had a harder time.With a message from God, than he did.
通常在这样的情形下，他的妻子比约瑟有更多的困难来接受神给他的这句话。
She did not look forward to being a widow with children in a communist country, suffering persecution.
因为他妻子不希望自己是个寡妇，带着孩子在一个共产党掌权的国家遭逼迫。
But finally.She accepted the possibility, and the matter was settled.
但她最终也接受下来，并且这事就这样定下来了。
Then Pastor Tong went to his church and told the members and the other pastors.
然后他牧师就去了他的教会，告诉了会众和其余的牧师们。
They said, "No, no, don't do it, you fool! They will kill you."
其他的人都反对他说不不可以这么做你这个傻瓜他们会杀死你的
But he said, It is settled.
但是他回答说我已经定了
The inevitable day arrived when the minister of the interior came to Joseph Tong and said you must keep these laws
无法回避的那一天来到了当罗马尼亚的内政部长来到约瑟陶那里对他说你必须遵守这些法律。
I cannot keep them, and I will not keep them, he replied.
约瑟回答说我不能也不会遵守他的。
The communist official said, Do you know what I can do to you?
那位共产党的官员就问他说你知道我可以对你做什么吗
Then Pastor Tong spoke words that are hard to forget.
唐牧师回答的话就让人无法忘却。
He said, "Your greatest weapon is killing me."
他说，你最大的武器就是杀死我。
My greatest weapon is dying.
我最大的武器就是死。
If you use your greatest weapon on me,I will use my greatest weapon on you.
如果你对我使用你最大的武器，我也会对你使用我最大的武器。
The official was so shocked that he went back to the central committee and said, "Don't kill Tong."
那位官员非常震惊，他回到中央委员会，对大家说，别杀死 Tong。
He wants to die.He's crazy.
他希望自己死，他是疯了。
From that moment on, Pastor Tong experienced an anointing on his life and on his ministry that he had never known before.
从那一刻起，唐牧师经历了他的生命和事工中极大的恩膏，是他原来所不知道的。
He had power for living, and if necessary, for dying.
那就是。他活着的大能以及如果有必要受死的大能
I want you to understand this For me, for you To be a clay pot Is ultimately to say I die daily
我希望你们明白这一点对你对我而言成为瓦器最终就是说我天天对自己死
That really sets you free
好，这就能够极大的释放我们。
When you insult someone who is dead, that person doesn't retaliate.
当有人去欺侮已经死亡的人时, 那个已死的人是不会去报复的。
If you say that you die daily, the establishment in your community may ridicule you, or reject you, or they don't care.
如果你说我天天向自己死, 你所处的团体可能讽刺你, 拒绝你, 或者他们根本就不在乎。
But you will have settled the biggest question of all.
但你就会对人生中最大的问题有了答案。
And because of that, the life of Christ's resurrection power can be released in you.
因此基督复活生命的大能就能够释放在你的生命中。
And do you know what?
你知道吗?
If even a nucleus of us contemporary American Christians would truly say with Paul, I carry around in my body the death of Jesus, the power of God would explode upon us, just as he did on the early church.
我们这些美国现在的基督徒，如果能够只有像原子和小的这样一部分人，能够真正像自己，像保罗一样宣告说，我身上常常带着耶稣的死，那么神的能力就能像核爆一样显明在我们的身上，正如发生在早期教会的里一样。
Our world will never be the same.
我们的世界就会永不一样。
Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Amen.
基督复活了，基督的确复活了。Amen.
，也非常谢谢司牧师为我们今天传达了这么一个好的一个信息，真的是巴不得让我们能够真的是在生活当中能够真的能够应用出来。好，我们一起来站立，一起唱诗歌第21首《快乐快乐我们崇拜》。